Hello, everyone. Our session is titled Teledentistry 101, The Basics All Dental Leaders Should Know. So we've got a great group of leaders for this discussion. And to begin, I'm just going to ask each of them to introduce themselves. Dr. Cerno, you want to start us off?
Sure. Good morning. My name is Dr. Michael Cerno. I am a full-time dentist and CMO, Chief Medical Officer for Decision One Dental. Decision One Dental is a DSO in Chicago that myself and my brother, who's also a dentist, made up. And, you know, we've been going for 12 years now. So, and I'm still full time at the chair. So,
awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Sure.
Dr. Fleischer, you want to go next?
Morning, sure. Dr. Michael Fleischer, Senior Vice President of Clinical Affairs for Dental 365 and Premier Care Dental Management. Presently, I'm working part-time as a clinician and full-time as an administrator with our group. We started about 6 years ago. We're now the largest provider of dental services in New York State. We have offices in Connecticut and soon to be in New Jersey.
Great. Thank you so much for being here, Dr. Fleischer. And Dr. Vanney, you want to round us off here?
Yeah, good morning. I'm Dr. Emily Vanney. I'm the Chief Clinical Officer at United Dental Partners. We're also in the Chicago area and Northwest Indiana. Our group started up in about 2012, and we've grown substantially and changed a little bit since then. But our group really focuses on children, teens, and ortho. Those are our main areas of practice.
Excellent. Well, appreciate all three of you being here today. And with that, I just want to go ahead and dive right in. We got a limited amount of time, a good amount of questions to get through. So Dr. Vanney, we can stay with you to start, and then your colleagues here on the screen can build on your comments. So the first question I have is, what's been your experience with teledentistry, and how has your relationship to the technology changed amid the ongoing pandemic? I'm sure it has. You want to kick things off?
Yeah, so our group, like many groups, of course, found ourselves offering emergency-only care back in March. And part of this meant that we needed to have a method of screening patients remotely to determine, is it truly something we need to see them in the office to treat? Or is it something we can address, you know, over the phone, perhaps with a prescription, or just directions on how to keep the area healthy until we were able to see them in the office? We used all sorts of different methods. Our doctors would use FaceTime, Skype, Zoom, really whatever they and the patient could connect over. And it was brand new for all of us. So it was helpful to have guidance from, you know, ADA, from other dental organizations on what we could do once COVID hit. We also partnered with a vendor for remote patient monitoring. And that was brand new to us as well. And we learned a lot as we went down that path. So that's been my experience. I'd love to hear what my fellow doctors have gone through.
Yeah, Dr. Fleischer, Dr. Cerno, you want to weigh in here? similar set of circumstances. So was some of this very new to you?
Absolutely. I think that was, she made some great points. Really, the main aspect of teledentistry in my mind is communication. And I think that what it did was it helped us to communicate with our patients at a time where they felt especially vulnerable and isolated. And we were able to make connections with them so that they still felt that they were cared for. So of course, to me, not being in a strictly orthodontic or pedodontic business, teledentistry was more about triage, of which it's really been forever. So I feel that most of us have been doing teledentistry for years. We just didn't realize it. So teledentistry, as you know, is two components, the video and audio. And we've been doing audio teledentistry for many, many years. We just never got paid for it. It wasn't, official. Patients would call the office, and when the staff is trained well, who are the first line of communication with our patients, they're gathering some very useful information so that we know where to direct our patients when they need us. And that's something we've been doing forever. And teledentistry and COVID really just made us focus on doing it better.
Definitely. I mean, I think that's fascinating, right? Like you've been doing triage. You've all been doing that for a while. It's just the tools are different now, perhaps. Right. Dr. Cyrano, you wanna build on those comments?
Sure. Yeah. I think both doctors are hitting it on the head here. As you can see in my beard, I've been doing this for a little while. So I never knew what teledentistry was. And just like Doc said, we've been doing this for years, right? And just didn't put a name to it. One thing that in our group, we're general dentists across the board, no specialty. And so what we do is hire a lot of new grads. And these new grads don't understand, I'm still old school, where I put my cell number on the emergency line and I talk to my patients. And some of these new grads don't understand that. So when we got into this pandemic, we really stressed communication with our docs, with their patients, because we didn't want to lose that form of communication. I think doctors hit it right on the head. Number one reason for this was communication and keeping the line of communication with your patient. But on top of that, there was always that, you can talk to someone on the phone, but now having a visual and a one-on-one, just like if they're sitting in front of you, was a whole new way of communicating. And I think it was giving our patients a little bit more ease to see a face at least, and not just talk on the phone. I'm not there's a time and a place for the third party, phone call or, when you call and you get the messages and all that, and they kind of triage your calls for you. But in my eyes, it's always a one-on-one. I really like that relationship you have with your patient and talking to them. So that opened up a whole, new world for us and for our docs to really sit on a computer or on their phone and video conference with a patient.
Yeah, I'm struck by what I'm hearing about how the connection, the communication, the relationship building is sort of being facilitated by this, remote technology that doesn't allow for interpersonal face-to-face in-person conversations. So that's definitely one benefit, right? The relationship building you're able to do. I'm wondering what are the benefits do you see within the technology, and perhaps what are some limitations? Dr. Fleischer, you want to start us off with that one, since I know the relationship communication piece was important from your perspective.
Sure. So teledentistry, I think, is not going away. And I think, as the doctors noted, it really is another tool in our armamentarium to connect with our patients, have them feel that we have their best interests in mind. And we're not marginalizing their issues. And we're definitely addressing their chief complaints. So it's really a great communication tool. In addition, it's forced us to formalize these consultations and interactions with our patient. Because when you have a telemedicine interaction, it needs to be documented in the patient's record. And it needs to be accurate. And I don't know if we were always very good at doing that before. So I think it's also streamlined record keeping. It's helped us to provide better care, because the next person reading the chart or trying to help our patient is fully aware of the conversation. They know what was talked about. They hear the patient's chief complaint, and it can be addressed more timely.
Thank you, Dr. Fleischer. Dr. Vanney, do you have anything to add to those comments? Anything where you feel like you know, those added benefits of this technology and perhaps any limitations as well?
So first, I think Dr. Fleischer really hit it that this forced us to document better than we have in the past, because as our phone calls or video calls were actually an official patient visit all of a sudden, that really hit home with our doctors that, you know, this advice that they've been offering over the phone previously that maybe had never been documented, all of a sudden we realized, oh, that's actually a patient visit. It just isn't face-to-face. And so it was tremendously helpful to reinforce the documentation piece and to help our doctors and patients realize the value of that phone call or video call in a way that previously we had not. The biggest limitations that we found was simply a patient or their family member's ability to take a good photo of maybe what was bothering them in their mouth. Cell phone cameras are great, but when you're not a dental assistant, when you're not a hygienist, when you're not a dentist, it's really hard to figure out how to take a good quality photo of your mouth. So it was fascinating to see the different angles that we would get photos in and different levels of blurriness. So definitely having better technology to take those images would be huge, but given everyone's anxiety levels, the ability to have your issue addressed with a doctor over the phone or over video was invaluable to our patients and put so many minds at ease to know, oh, my chipped tooth, it's going to be okay, or I can wait to come in, you know, until next week. I'm not going to lose my front tooth. It was remarkable.
Yeah, it's really a great point. It's besides being sometimes a source of humor, we do feel our patients' frustrations in their ability to try and communicate with us. And I think that's definitely a big advantage that our medical colleagues have over us. They can have a patient do a very nice blood pressure check with a digital device at home. They can certainly manage to report their pulse to the doctor. Even a pulse oximeter is, before COVID, was easier to obtain, but it's very easy to utilize and gives a lot of great information to the medical personnel. So who knows, you're right, maybe iPhone update 16 or we'll have a better means for us to see what's going on in the patient's mouth. But they are trying and we're trying, and I think you're correct. It does have a place in our dental care. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Cerno, you anything to add there about any interesting mouth selfies that you've encountered as well, or anything like the trajectory of what you think this technology might become for your industry?
I really think that it's here to stay. What I'm interested in is to see the future of it and how it evolves, because I think this is like, just like the first iPhone that came out, you know, I think we're going to see phases, and I can't wait to see how it develops. In saying that, the limitations I see mostly are on the patient end with technology. So as things advance and get a little bit more technical, so does the mishaps of a patient to try and get this. And so that, you know, there's some, you know, some falls there, but we'll get by and we'll get through it. I think it's a great communication piece. I think it really helps, especially younger docs, take that step forward in their communications with patients. So.
Excellent. And something that was mentioned, I think a couple of times, is sort of the importance of documentation through all this. Like, you know, that was something that you guys didn't have to do before, and you've had to get better at it. But I'm curious, you know, as you've scaled up these services, are there any other legal or business policies that sort of accompany doing this many, you know, teledentistry consultations?
Well, I could say I definitely feel that it's very necessary and important to be HIPAA compliant, to comply with all the DICOM issues. I think that it will become easier for us in that regard in the future when dental software developers integrate a teledentistry into their software, so it becomes more of a seamless process. Because right now, a lot of the information needs to be transferred. So if you have a synchronous visit, you know, meaning the patient contacts you and you're face-to-face with them immediately, we don't at the moment have a mechanism of having that video conference recorded in the patient's record. But I don't think it's that far away when we'll have the ability to have teledentistry seamless integrate with our dental software.
Does that ring true to you, Dr. Vanney?
So it would be tremendously helpful if it was all in one system. What our doctors and staff were having to do is, you know, send patient photos over email to be uploaded into the patient's chart. And while that works, there's a lot of steps along the way for error to creep in. And certainly you don't want anyone else getting that information. But even when you send it to all the right people, they still need to upload it to the correct chart and label it correctly. So there are a lot of ways in which you could have a mishap or just lost information. I was really impressed with the vendor we partnered with for remote patient monitoring. This mostly had to do with our orthodontic patients. And the technology that they had available to help help take photos that were accurate and really readable was impressive. There was still a learning curve, even with all of that assistance. Patients still struggled to take really good photos, even with handholding. But I thought that did offer a glimpse into what we could hope to see in the future for other parts of dentistry as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think in the beginning, at least for us, it was pretty rudimentary, where we were just doing, you know, video calls or, you know, Skyping or whatever, just to get in front of a patient. And then the legal aspects and the HIPAA stuff kind of came forefront, and we're like, all right, you know, we can't just be doing this. And so then we partnered, we have a cloud-based dental system. And so it was easy to find a third party to help kind of connect that. And then we didn't have to worry about the HIPAA issues and legal aspects, which was nice. But it was really neat to see, you know, you're talking back in April, and then all of a sudden now in August, September, where even just those few months, things have really kind of shot forward in a good way. With teledentistry, which is nice. So
definitely. I mean, I think a couple of things that we've hit on here previously that might be considered barriers to adoption of this technology, sort of like some of the inconveniences, some of the Dr. Vanney, you mentioned like making sure things get loaded up to the right chart. But as far as adopting this technology with internally with your staff or anywhere else, I'm wondering if we can just zero in on any more barriers to teledentistry adoption that, you know, some of our attendees today might be experiencing as well, and any advice you can give to them.
So one thing that we noticed is as our offices began reopening and treating more patients, we're certainly not back to normal, but we're not emergency only anymore. It was hard to fit in virtual visits or virtual consultations into our normal flow because patient demand is high. I'm sure my colleagues have seen this too. Patients really want to come back to the dentist. They want to come in. No one is used to having a balance yet anyway of in-person visits and virtual visits really throughout the day. So trying to figure out how to schedule that, how to staff for that, and how to train everyone on handling that has been a unique and new frontier for us.
That's really a great point. one of the things that we don't talk about enough is that teledentistry is very time consuming. Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely correct. And there is a balance. And I know that our medical colleagues are struggling with that greatly now because they've sort of gotten their patients accommodated to these telemedicine visits. And now they don't want to come in person to have their blood pressure checked or for routine visits. So, but I do think in orthodontics, teledentistry definitely has its biggest upside, especially when the technological aspects, as you mentioned, of photography and communication on the patient's end is upgraded. I think that it will become even more integrated into delivery of orthodontic care.
Thank you, Dr. Go ahead, Dr. Sarah.
Yeah, those are great points. You know, we're in general dentistry, not in the ortho market or anything like that. So I can't, you know, speak into that. But what I can say is that, Doc's hit it right on the head in that during the day, your hands in a mouth and you know, isolated that one-on-one right there. Now you bring in this part of the teledentistry. Where do you fit that in the day? I would tell you, with our dentists and our groups, we're probably limited to it after hours and you know, weekends that we're off or so forth, right, as of right now. I'd love to see how that can be integrated and how we can move forward in maybe making that part of our day. It's going to be tough, but, you know, dentistry is a little different than our medical colleagues, right? And I think we can all attest to this, that someone could call up and say, hey, my blood pressure is a little off, and they kind of adjust the medicine and they don't need that, you know, one-on-one visit. Dentistry, you got a toothache. You need to see someone, right? So I don't think teledentistry is going to take over a full day of, hey, I'm going to just take this one day and just do teledentistry and exams like that. I think patients have now gotten comfortable and see that it's really safe to come into the dental office. So they want to come in, right? So I think, again, teledentistry is going to be a big part of dentistry going forward. Where it fits into the regular day, I'm not sure. I can't wait to see how, you know, things develop in that area. But I think it's a really good and helpful, useful tool for after hours and so forth right now, at least.
I agree. I think we have to be disciplined in how we fit teledentistry into our day and our practices. You know, we've all had the patient who, you know, they call the office in the morning and they said, please have the doctor call me between 2:20 and 2:30 because that's the only time I'm available. So that's the danger of teledentistry. You really have to be disciplined in how you schedule it and how you make it available to our patient population. But I think everybody's correct that it's not going away. It's here to stay, and it will continue to be a useful part of the way that we treat our patients.
Yeah, what I think could be an interesting change for the field is to have more ability for patients to receive a dental exam without coming into the dental office. And by this, really, I'm referring to either patients in a hospital or a nursing home, someone for whom it could be extremely difficult to come in and see us, though they may love to come in and see their dentist. It just isn't feasible. And to have a hygienist or even a dental assistant be able to take photos, maybe x-rays even, right where the patient is, have a dentist evaluate that remotely and say, you know what, this person, we really do need to get them in. This other person, it looks like they're doing okay. They need to improve on XYZ, but we can manage them where they are. They don't need to come in. That would be totally different from our day-to-day practice at our offices. This would really be a whole new way to take advantage of this technology. But I think it would allow us to bring dental care to patient groups who may struggle with access right now.
Right. Well, once again, as Michael said, it's, you know, teledentistry as you pointed out, it's another great way that we can triage our patients. Mm-hmm. But to deliver the actual care, it's very, very difficult.
Right, exactly. You do need a dental professional somewhere on the dental professional spectrum, whether it is a trained assistant or a hygienist. You need someone there who knows about teeth and mouths to help assist with that exam, even if the dentist isn't present. But there really is no substitute for that training on the mouth. It's a complicated space, and that's why we have experts.
It's interesting. I think the conversation has shifted to this future looking forward focused sort of realm here. And I'm wondering if we can stay with that. So, we've established in this conversation that teledentistry is certainly here to stay. And there's been a few comments about what it might look like moving forward and what would be useful moving forward. But I'm wondering if we can build on that a little bit more and, what uses will remain if that one fine day when we're on the other end of this pandemic, what do you anticipate the technology will look like?
It's a great question. I think that there will continue to be more third party, more vendors who are out there making it as seamless as possible for doctors to integrate it into their, at least after hours and weekend care. That would be a huge step forward, as opposed to having to pass around, the on-call cell phone or something more rudimentary like that. And then I do hope to see more access, as I mentioned, to underserved patient populations, or people even in rural communities who just don't have the access that people in a more urban area have.
Yeah, I agree on that. I mean, if you look at some of the numbers of people that are not getting access to care, I think that's a big advantage in teledentistry when you can kind of hit on those people. But again, getting them in the door is just as important. But I think Doc's right. The third parties are going to, I think you'll see it evolve in something that hopefully we can use every day, and find a way to use it. We're in a culture now that it's a immediate gratification culture, right? So with all the social media and everything out there, especially younger people, they want things now and done now and immediate. So this is something to help. And I think, it's going to be a big place in dentistry. It'll be interesting to see how it evolves.
Anything to add there, Dr. Fleischer, before we get the takeaways as we're pushing up on time?
What was that?
Do you have anything to add on sort of the future of this technology as we're about to close out here and get the takeaways? Just wanted to check in with you.
I think the future will totally depend on technological advancements, and they're sometimes hard to predict, but where there's a need, that in the past, the technology always catches up to that need. And I think the doctor was right, especially with the young people. I'm constantly amazed at the timestamps that we see. We get messages from our young patients, 2:30 in the morning, 3:00 in the morning, they're making an appointment or sending in a query about a dental question. And time is a relative thing now. And when teledentistry can make dental professionals available more hours in the day, that's certainly a thing that's going to resonate with our younger population.
Absolutely. I certainly echo the idea that time seems more relative than ever these days. So I think we're all living that. I think as we just got a couple minutes left, I want each of you to leave our attendees with one or two key takeaways about teledentistry. So just some closing thoughts here. Dr. Fleischer, we can start with you.
Sure. Well, I think that teledentistry is a very important tool that we use in providing the best possible patient experience while delivering an excellent and predictable clinical outcome. So one of the ways to provide a good patient experience is to be available and to understand our patients' need to feel heard and understood. So in addition, it helps us to be much more efficient when our encounter can direct our patients to the most appropriate clinical provider. So that definitely is respectful of their time and helps to eliminate unproductive dental appointments.
Thank you, Dr. Fleischer. I appreciate all your great thoughts you shared with our attendees today.
Pleasure.
Dr. Serino, you want to go next?
Sure. I think the one thing that stands out is the term has come up more than once is communication. I think that's number one, right? We communicate every day in the office, and this just opened up windows to help communicate in certain situations. You know, barriers come up during the day and throughout life, and we always find a way to try and break down those barriers or kind of work around it. And I think teledentistry was one. I'm curious and very optimistic to see how that plays out in the future and how it can be brought into our day-to-day lives. It'll be very interesting. The one other takeaway, and it's a warning that I'm kind of afraid of in our profession, is as we become more and more with the teledentistry and so forth, we cannot fall into that pitfall. I'm a big advocate of over-prescribing antibiotics and narcotics. And it's a very easy road to hit when you're on a teledentistry or a phone call, and to get immediate pain relief from a patient is to, okay, well, I'll just write a script for them or I'll give them some meds. And that's something that really worries me. And hopefully we don't as a profession fall into that pitfall, but it's something we all need to, as we, and again, I think teledentistry has a big place for us in the dental world, and especially with access to care, but we have to be careful not to go down that road, because that's a tough road. I think we've made strides in not going down that road as a profession, and I hope this doesn't make it a little easier for dentists. So just my little soapbox there.
No, I mean, I think those are important considerations certainly moving forward. Dr. Vanney, you want to close us off here with some closing thoughts?
Yeah, so both of my colleagues made great points, and I'm so glad that you mentioned the prescription piece, because while patients can be very adamant that they need a prescription or they need certain medications to get them through it, we do need to remember our responsibilities to their overall health and wellness, and make sure that we do what is best for them and not be pressured into doing what they think is best for them. I know, especially for younger doctors, that can be hard to get used to, but we are the experts and we need to stand our ground. I think what I would ask offices to keep in mind as they're working with teledentistry is that keeping it simple and starting slow is fine. You don't have to do everything all at once. Figure out a system that works for your office, be consistent with it, train your staff on the process, and work out kinks as you go along. We're always learning and growing, and taking small steps is the best way to begin.
Really nice.
Yeah, I think it's a great place to close off. It's been a wonderful conversation. Thank you all three of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you very much.